Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. We have Pam Kilmers coming on momentarily. I'm very excited to speak with her. She has a lot of valuable information. She talks with a few people. Judson Witham, I know, has been on a couple of shows that she's been on and some of her friends, and she can speak more to that. But I listened to quite a few of her videos last night, and her story is amazing. So she's a survivor. So we're looking forward to having her on any moment. Her computer, she's having some problems with it right now. And I'll post some links in the show or in the comment section so that we can get you some more information on her. She is with hold on just a second here. I miss Renee because I am the co-hostess. I am not the hostess with the mostess here, but I'll try. I know about identity theft and fraud in the courts. I know that much. And I know about language fraud, too, that they're doing all over the country, all over the world, actually. So I'm in queue. Okay, hold on just one second. We'll get this taken care of here momentarily, folks. Okay, I'm getting Pam in. I'm having technical difficulties. I'm not able to get her out of queue for some reason. It's not letting me take her out. Maybe it will now. Pam? Pamela? Okay, hold on, folks. Pam?
Yeah,
hi.
Hello.
Sorry about that. I'm having technical difficulties. It's my first time without Renee.
Oh, yeah.
So I was telling the viewer, I was letting our listeners know a little bit about you. So I told them a little bit about your story, not very much. I told them I watched some of your videos last night, but I watched quite a few actually about your dilemma in Pennsylvania where you were arrested
yes.
for contempt. So I just basically wanted to turn it over to you if you would like to let everybody kind of know a little bit about your story briefly, and then we can talk about what you think's important, you know, what's going on in our country and some of the steps you think we...
Well, the courts are just totally corrupt. That's about it. I mean, something needs to be done. And my case is just another example of probably thousands or tens of thousands of cases.
How long were you in incarcerated?
Well, after I was picked up by the FBI in Puerto Rico,
right.
a year and a half after I fled Pennsylvania in the States, I was 1 month in maximum security prison.
And that was for something totally...
That was for... Actually, when I was first picked up, I was told that the FBI was told I had kidnapped this kid. They weren't told it was my own son. And when they first came into my house and busted in the screen door, I mean, they surrounded my house with like 12 FBI agents with heavy guns.
Uh-huh.
And my neighbors told me... And well, they came into my house, put handcuffs on me behind my back, and telling me I was resisting arrest, which I wasn't at all. And I said, I'm just pleading with you to get my files for lawyers. And I went on with my story and asked them to get my files. They took me into my room, and I said, well, look, and open that file, and you'll see. That's just explain to them. That's just an example of some of the evidence that the judge would not allow in court. And it was a picture that my son had drawn of the scary thing. And he made a remark about it, which I don't really say too much because of my son's
right.
our respect for my son. You know,
right.
And you know, it was
children do
I'll
that.
What,
they'll draw pictures of things that sometimes a picture says 1,000 words, so...
Yeah, and what he said, and when the FBI agent saw that, they took the handcuffs off of me and were nice to me. It was a complete different turnaround. And they just have to do their job. You know, they were actually nice to me after that. As nice as they could be, you know. And they said they just have to do their job. And I gathered my stuff, and they left my son sit with me in the car till we went up to the local police station, and then social workers took my son. And I was taken in for processing, fingerprinting, mugshots, all that. And I got a nice security prison, early the next morning. And I just screamed and cried the whole night long. I didn't sleep. And I finally got to call a lawyer from the Women's Commission in Puerto Rico who knew all about my case, who I'd gone to shortly after I came to Puerto Rico. And I call her my guardian angel, Josefina Lopez de Victoria. She was my guardian angel. I went to her. I actually heard about her through the Battered Women's Justice Project.
Okay.
When I first came to Puerto Rico, I was just making calls, groups, national groups, trying to figure out what to do for help. I should not have had to flee the United States to protect my child. And I was so upset. I was so desperate trying to get help because I felt so bad. I should never have had to make the choice between my parents' well-being or my child's well-being, because I knew it was going to totally destroy my parents. Because my parents were so happy they finally had a grandchild. It was 35 years old when I had my son. And they never thought they were even going to ever have a grandchild. And they were so happy. And I lived with my parents for almost 5 years with my son. From the time my son was 8 or 9 till he was five, till we left when my son was 5 and a half. And that was their whole world. And I just totally destroyed their whole world when I left. I'm their only daughter. I had one brother living in Seattle with no children, you know, and they never thought he was going to have a child, you know, which he did after my dad had passed away.
I hate to hear that.
After I fled, my parents were contemplating suicide. And they were at a friend's house crying. And about 8 months later, after I left, they were at a friend's house crying, and telling how they wanted to commit suicide together because they couldn't stand it, you know. And they left there, and an hour later, my dad fell over dead with a heart attack. So
I'm sure that this is like terrorism to your family.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It is terrorism. I have said that before. I have written about that. Our government, which includes these judges, they are committing domestic terrorism. I have written about that even a few years ago. If you look back over my posts,
it's treason,
exactly,
treasonous, and falls under RICO and continuing criminal enterprise, is my understanding of some of the things that I've seen on paper. You've actually experienced it, and as I told you when we talked last night a bit, I experienced some court corruption over in Ohio under a custody dispute case, and I actually watched the man that I paid, $25,000 to switch the evidence up on some exhibits, and later went back and found out that he didn't put in the right exhibits, so that might have had an inkling there on what happened to me with my children, and it was very hard. I understand a little bit, not as much as you. And I was actually approached by the police here in Richmond, Indiana, for kidnapping because I kept the children from him for visitation because, as I told you, the stepmother was, I was alleging she was abusing them, and she was. So, I know what that's like, but they let me go. That officer did not do what they did to you and took you in. He let me go, and he said, just get out of here. I didn't see you. So I went to a friend's house and stayed. But the youngest one may not have been all right had I not done that, because she was definitely being abused at the hands of a stepmother. So I understand exactly where you're coming from on that, and I think it's very brave, and it's very, very telling of you as a mother to sacrifice like that.
It's terrible. It still haunts me. It haunts me
you're a survivor, I think.
But it hurts me that I hurt my parents so bad. It really hurts me that my dad died depressed like that. That's not right. It's really not right, you know, and it's their fault. You know, it's their fault. And it's not right. You know,
did you ever file a judicial complaint on that official, on that so-called judge that did this to you?
No, because I knew that the Judicial Conduct Board in Pennsylvania was corrupt. I was told.
Yes.
I was actually advised by a retired FBI agent who's been trying to help me since soon after I got out of jail. He heard about my case through a friend in Florida, and he looked over my case, and he tried to help me. He used to be a supervisor for the FBI right out of Washington, D.C., covering the whole United States.
Well, good
States.
For him.
But the main supervisor, oh, you're wonderful. His name is Lane Bonner. He's been wonderful, and he tried everything he could think of. He knew exactly where to go, where people should have, where they should have investigated the corruption in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, that forced me to flee the United States. We went everywhere, and there's no one that would help us. I was recently even told that if I can't help you, nobody can. Because he told me years ago that our constitutional rights have been ground to the dirt by both the Pennsylvania and the federal government. That is like quote unquote.
Well, and I believe that's true with the government, with some of the government officials, they have to be high up to be allowing this. But the judicial, I'm finding behind the scenes, whether they realize it or not, they've turned into a money-making mill, and the judicial conference has papers that say we must not give the appearance of making money. We cannot give the appearance of profiting. And the fact is, in the family courts, and as you've experienced, they're making money hand over fist, and it's very private and closed off from everyone, so nobody can get their story out, and there's plenty of people that are victims of it as we speak. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. And one of my questions is, why did every lawyer that I have in Pennsylvania first ask how much money I had? And And I have large bills. Sometimes they were like up to $500 a week. And then I would get charged for one lawyer talking to another lawyer. I said, I only need one lawyer. I can't afford two lawyers. And I would just get, how do I know where they're really talking to each other? Why is the lawyer I have to talk to another lawyer? I didn't tell them to do that. You know, but they were just padding the bill. I think they were just padding the bill.
Well, sometimes they do that if there's a strategy. If you're the man who you were married to him, correct?
No, we just lived together.
Okay, was the father of the child?
We dated for years, and then we lived together. I'm sorry, what?
So he knew people in the judicial, correct?
No, my son's father's father, so the paternal grandfather, was good friends with the judges. By going to the Sites Club in Lebanon County, I found this out because it was just a few days after I kicked the father out for what he was doing to the baby. He was doing terrible things to the baby.
Yeah.
And he had to go. He was not a good father. He just had to go. For what he did, I couldn't believe it. He had to go, and
grandfather then came in and used his influence with the what we believe.
I was talking to the grandfather on the phone, and the grandfather said to me, Donald Wasco, said to me, "You're not going to get anywhere because I know all the judges. When you have four kids, you get to know the judges." Whatever that meant, why he had to get to know the judges because he had four kids, I don't know. Sounds bizarre that he said that, but that's exactly what he said. And then I actually found it to be true. I found out it was true by somebody else that went to the Stice Club. And they told me that the grandfather went there with Carlos Loeffler, a big oil man in Pennsylvania, the richest man in the state. And I have a, he died while I was in jail in Pennsylvania. I have a newspaper article that he was the biggest philanthropist.
You say that real fast three times, Pam.
I know.
I do the same thing. I want to say pacifically. Let me tell you pacifically what happened.
He gave money to the local hospital there. He gave money to the local, to Lebanon Valley Hospital.
Oh, yeah. So he was in the know of things, and that's how it is around here, too. I'm sure it's that way, and I'm sure Puerto Rico is beautiful, but my understanding is that's a big IRS headquarters, and there's probably a lot of room for corruption in that area where you're at. And I have heard rumors. I haven't experienced it personally, but I have heard rumors that there's a lot of things that go on in Puerto Rico where you're at. But I'm really glad to hear that they protected your son.
Oh, wow. We were so lucky. I mean, what really helped me is because I went to the Women's Commission soon after I came here. And thank you to the Better Women's Justice Project. They have an 800 number. People can call there and get advice.
Is it 800 nationwide?
Yes, yes, and even in Puerto Rico.
Let me see if I can find it, and I'll share it.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. I mean, every year they have a conference. Anybody can go to it.
Is it Battered Women Justice Center, you say?
I think Battered Women's Justice Project, I believe.
Okay.
And they have a conference, a convention once a year. And oh, and guess what? There were two charges. My first charge was my whole case started out after I left. My whole case started out with a contempt charge for not showing up at a court date where they in no way ever even made any attempt to notify me of the court date. There's nothing in the record, no paperwork, nothing in the court records that they ever even tried to contact me. So I don't show up, they put me in contempt of court, and give the father custody. Now I think that might have happened. I'm not sure if that happened while I was on vacation in Pennsylvania. I mean, in Florida, because I had gone on vacation in Florida. And that's when I made my decision not to go back, because of my son telling me stuff that Daddy did to him.
Right.
And if he didn't do it, Daddy would hit him in the face. And then I said to my son, how would you feel if you never had to see your dad again? And he got so happy and was jumping around. And I said, okay, we're not going back. And he was just so happy. He was just so happy and excited. It's just like he was jumping around so much he hurt himself. He was just so overwhelmed and happy. He didn't have to go back
right.
And see his dad again. And that's when I decided, no. So I spent my vacation. I was at my friend's house for a two-week vacation, and I spent most of my time where my son, my friend, just took my son along with her son, you know, who were close in age. And she took my son, and I spent most of my time on the phone with national groups and other groups in Florida trying to figure out how I could get maybe emergency jurisdiction in Florida.
Right.
I was
and
trying to figure
that's
out,
that's the place
okay.
that, well, that's a, I have the National Justice Project, Battered Women's Justice Project numbers 1-800-903-0111 extension 1, and it looks like a really good site. And then I liked them on it's Battered Women's Justice Project on Facebook as well. So I'm glad they were able to help you. And then I've got a friend that I'm trying to contact now, David Roach. He's kind of an expert in common law. One of the things that you can do to these judges and lawyers in general. And it doesn't matter, and it's the truth, I'm pretty sure, because I've been, and I haven't practiced it or done it yet, but I think I'm going to have to at this point. because they're so out of hand and so ridiculously in our face and don't care what happens, right? Whatever they do, they're charging people exorbitant fees. And I know some of them are good people, but the fact is they got to be paid, right? Well, they're getting paid behind the scenes, and I wanted David to tell you about this. They have bonds on these criminal cases or any kind of charge. They make money off of our backs when we go to jail, so they're not naming all the indispensable parties. One of the things that people can do is write a complaint to the judicial, and if you don't have a judicial complaint center like the Supreme Court here in Indiana, you can write it to the Bar Association. Now, they may not do anything, but when you write them and they get like three complaints in a row, and it's extremely, it's really bad what they've done, the misconduct or the judicial code canons that they've broken. You can write each complaint separately. So after they get three of those, it affects their insurance, and they're not able to practice law. So, and they'll lose their insurance sometimes if it's bad enough. And you can do each one as a separate complaint if you have to. You don't have to do one whole complaint with all the canons they broke. You can take each canon and break it down into a separate complaint. And after, it's my understanding, I've been told by some knowledgeable friends that after three times of that, then that affects their insurance, and they often lose their insurance, and that'll keep them from practicing. And if you got somebody in there that's selling you down the river and hurting you by not helping your child, not helping to protect you when you're paying them, then, you know, that's just how it goes. They don't feel bad for us whenever they basically screw us over behind the scenes. So I'm done being nice about stuff. I've got, you know, small children here, as I told you, with warrants on their backs, and nobody's doing anything, and I'm through messing around with them. So I know that you can write those complaints and send them in to the judicial or the bar, and that will affect their insurance, their liability insurance.
Since they are so corrupt, like they are in Pennsylvania, how do we know that they're going to pass along to the insurance company? Maybe we should
they
also
have
make
to.
A copy.
They have to whenever they get a complaint.
Doesn't mean they will. I don't trust them.
Well, that what you can do then is send it into the state of the state of Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State, and you can inform them that you've filed a complaint, and they'll report it for sure.
Right. I think a carbon copy should go to them. I think you need to back it up and do carbon copies to other people because they are so corrupt. I'll tell you what, if you want an excellent, excellent book for everybody to read about the corruption in the courts, it's a book by Larry Ohol called The Luzerne County Railroad. That Luzerne County is where the Kids for Cash program happened.
Okay.
But
and is
this,
that the one? Is that the one in Pennsylvania, that Cash for Kids judge that just went to jail?
There were two judges, I believe, that went to jail. But that only happened. That would not have happened, I don't believe, or less likely to happen if one of the children went to jail out of thousands. How many children went to jail? Like 4,000. What puts a juvenile hall that didn't, you know, for minor. Things that happened might have sent us to the guidance counselor or to the office or maybe a suspension, in school suspension or something. Maybe got put to prison for 6 months or a year or so.
They had bonds on their backs, I'm sure, and they were false ones.
Plus the judges make money off these kids. They had financials. They were invested in these prisons, and they were getting big kickbacks. In that, but what happened to Larry Ohol happened way before that in the early 90s, and they stole his everything he ever worked for. He was a self-made multimillionaire before he was 30, and then he sold the company and the people he sold the company to ended up taking him to court. Anyway, long story short, they stole everything he ever worked for, all wrongly. The book details, every little detail is in the book. You've got to watch it, and other things that were done corruptly. But he even talks about the corruption in the Judicial Conduct Board there in Pennsylvania. He thought they were finally going to do something. He took it to the appeals court. He talks about the corruption in the appeals court. Then he talked to, so he took it to the judicial conduct board, and the man from the judicial conduct board that looked over his case said the judge is going down. But guess what? Weeks later, he heard nothing back after that. What's going on? He went right down to the judicial conduct board to the office of that man who wouldn't come out. He said, I'm camping here until I get to talk to the man. You know, and at the end of the day, the guy comes out, calls from his office, and says, I'm sorry, but we're not going to do anything because the judge involved you're after is on the judicial conduct board. He's on the board, the judicial conduct board.
That and still shouldn't have. You can still file a complaint and send it registered mail. Don't send it certified. Send it registered. And that's the same as putting it into court, is my understanding. So that they can't deny it. And that's what I would do. Don't let them deter you, because that's what they do lots of times. I've been to the FBI before over this identity theft and fraud of my children and grandchildren, my entire family. And they've tried to dissuade me from leaving evidence. They've actually made me come back and get home, and I wrote about the evidence. I wrote that I tried to turn in the evidence to you. You made me pick it up. And it's a real pain, but I tell you what, I was so smoking mad that I had to do something. And I thought, well, I'm just going to start writing letters and start documenting this, correct? And that's what I did. And I'm not, you know, a stranger to the legal arena, but it's not my cup of tea. I'm certainly not a lawyer. So,
yep.
And
years
I don't want to be.
Years ago when I was told to, you know, by actually the FBI agent, retired FBI agent, Lane Bonner, I was told to report to the Judicial Conduct Board. I didn't, because it scared me, because at that time, after I got the paperwork, you know, it said that if I report, you know, any report judges I report, I cannot tell anybody. I cannot tell anybody. I cannot tell anybody the result.
Right, and I can understand that because.
And also, their decision is final.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was cutting my own throat because I figured they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't do anything.
That may well be that there's going to be repercussions from that. So I'm just saying what people have told me that can be done, and I haven't done that personally yet. I have some complaints here ready to go. But I'm sure that people worry about retaliation and what can happen to them, especially if it's a judge involved.
Right.
And nobody.
That changed in Pennsylvania at the last 2 or 3 years. But unfortunately, I think the statute of limitations might have ran out in my case now. So
I'm not sure. We need to maybe some of our callers will have some questions on that. I mean, some answers on that.
Because guess what? The corrupt judge, John Tilwalk, and I will say he is corrupt. I have plenty of evidence to it. He still has my son on the missing persons list with the FBI. Last I heard, about it maybe 9 months ago, my son found out his name is still on.
Really? Let me look that up real quick. Well, I can't. You can text it to me.
He only found out because he was in the rainforest here in El Yunque, where he wasn't supposed to be, in an area he didn't realize he wasn't supposed to be, and they went and checked him out, and they said, you know, you're on the missing persons list. So, and we thought his name was going off when he turned 21. My son's now 23. And they're still keeping him on. What is that all about? In fact, this name should have been taken off. That corrupt judge, John Tilwalk, knew since 1997 exactly where my son was in Puerto Rico, and that Puerto Rico was protecting my son. So why?
Can you say what that judge's name is again?
John Tilwalk, T-Y-L-W-A-L-K. He should have recused himself from my case. He should not have ever taken my case because of the conflicts of interest with the grandfather.
Right.
You know, and in fact, at my for my trial, my attorney that I had, Richard Ducote, who's been helping women that go on the run in parental kidnapping cases for I bet 30 years now. He's an expert. In fact, he goes to those he'll go and speak at the Battered Women Justice Conference, Battered Women Justice Project conferences. He's highly involved with them. So if you look him up, his name is spelled D-U-C-O-T-E, Richard Ducote. He practices now out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He also helped that boy who speaks out now because he was a little abused. Vincent D., what is his name?
I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of corruption going on around a lot of this, and I think that the right now there's a whole bunch of parents out there hurting. There's people over in the UK now. I listened to your show, part of what you were talking about, the corruption. I actually found a notice in 2012 when I was researching, and it was a notice to all people. It had the case number on the top of the page, but down in the document itself, it did not have the case number listed as it should be in order for it to be a proper notice in the paper. But it was to all incompetents, infants, imbeciles. It was to everyone, and it said if you didn't have a guardian ad litem, that this attorney was going to be it. He was out of South Carolina. And I actually have shared that on Yosef L's show that I did in 2013. But there was a posting to everyone in the United States, and it had to do with redemption rights and land rights. Up in the UK, they'll take the children. It's from what I've seen on Carl Lentz's videos, they'll take the children and take them right away from the parents if they don't have a home. And you know how the housing crisis is right now.
Oh, yeah.
So they're keeping the children and not giving the children back to their parents due to the displacement that's been caused by the big interest, you know, the people that are pushing around the money, the paper,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it amounts to. There needs to be a spiritual awakening, and people need to get back to taking back and changing our government. If things aren't going, it's up to us to change our government. And I'm fairly certain under the Constitution and under our Bill of Rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution that they take an oath to, that we can change our government. We're the ones that they're here because of us. Now they might be here now because of the banks, they think, but they're really here because we got them in the first place,
right.
Our government. So they're here to serve us. It's not the other way around. And the arrogant attitude and the snootiness and the arrogance of people that are educated idiots in my book and that go to college that talk in parables and act like nobody else can understand what they're saying. You can call it like you see it. If you see fraud or you know somebody's corrupt, you can call it out just like that. You don't have to have a bunch of fancy words or super smart or be talked down to by someone who I've paid as much as $400 an hour to be, and I don't let them talk down to me. They put their pants on just like I do, and they're no smarter than I am. They might be more well-versed in their profession, and I'm talking about the judicial. So I'm hoping for some good ones. I heard a good one on Liberty Lisa's show. His name was Chris. I heard he sounded like a pretty good guy. And then I have some friends, too. But for the most part, these foreclosures and the debt collectors and all that, they get into the mill that's going on in the courts, and they just hurry us through like cattle. And then whenever you take out a loan, every time I hear something about a child or something going on for no reason, I think, did they take out a loan? Because did they get something financed? Did somebody have access to this child's Social Security number? And you do that automatically when you buy a home. You give them all your IRS information. They ask for it, even though you could hand them copies. They want an IRS release to where you release information to them. Did you realize that?
Do you have to give it?
No, you don't have to, I don't think, but one of the things I found out as attorneys, there's a certain criteria for attorneys to practice behind the scenes in transactions, international transactions. They're transactional experts, and so they'll practice all over the place, and they do transactions with the IRS. So that's one of their businesses that nobody needs to know about, they don't think, and then they get power of attorneys and releases, and they think it makes it okay. And there is remedy for that. You can actually do a rescission of power of attorney and fire the attorney, and they can no longer do that. Any attorney you've ever hired, if you don't fire them or do a rescission of the power of attorney and send it to them, registered mail preferably, that's the way to give them notice that they are no longer allowed to be your power of attorney. They don't have permission anymore. Because what they'll try to do is what I've seen them do. I've seen evidence of, and I don't want to say all, but just a few attorneys who try to patronize their clients and tell them that they seem crazy and that they're not stable. Now, I'd like to know why in the world an attorney would be saying that to someone who's paying them $300 and $400 an hour. Well, because on the family court side and in the family side or in the judicial side, they can pretty easily get a power of attorney because they treat us like we're incompetent anyway. That's not all of them, but that's how we're treated in the court, in the judicial. If you have a lawyer, you can't say crap when you go in there. There's nothing you can say because a judge won't hear you because you've hired a counsel, and when you hire counsel, that's their indication that you're not competent before the court to speak.
Really? And I had lawyers tell me that I was not allowed to speak, but what I saw and what my son told me, his dad did to him. Because you know why? My lawyers told me. Because it doesn't matter what you say in court, they're not going to believe you because you're the mother. So I wasn't even allowed to speak about what
You are, but your lawyer was trying to maybe keep you quiet because he knew and that's another thing I'll say. These attorneys are scared to death of making the judge mad. And I really like that Judge Joe Brown. I watched one of his videos last night. I don't care if it is. Somebody said, oh, it's a stunt. I said, I don't care if it's a stunt or not. He told it like it was. He didn't sound like it was a stunt to me. He said, any attorney that gets up there and isn't defending his client, there's a problem. And he's right. He said they cleared out the courthouse where he was at years ago, and it was getting like that. And he said, now it looks like they're getting back to it again. So there are people in the profession that are sick of it, I'm sure. But I really haven't found any that can do much about it at this point. I think it's up to people to complain to the judicial on their canons, on, you know, judicial misconduct or, you know, complain if an attorney is doing something that, look at your canons in your state, the judicial code of conduct, and see if you can't file a complaint if it's that bad, because I know how it is. I've had attorneys my whole life, and I'm just now waking up to the fact, because I had a bad experience with my daughter in getting her one, caught some insurance payoffs going on behind the scenes on this mortgage foreclosure. And it appears that it wasn't just him. It appears it was actually a case that should have been over with, and they were running it behind the scenes. And it's like your case. Didn't you find out that they would not, in your case, you said that you didn't get served or anything and there was no record of it in the court transcripts. Is that correct?
Exactly. In my case, there were 6 or 7 times where I was not served my due process. Even twice, twice while I was in jail, they took me out with no notice to court. The first time was about a week after I was extradited back to Pennsylvania. I'm in my cell, and the guard told me to come out, to put my uniform on and come out. So I did. I go out. She leads me out into the hallway. I said, where are we going? She don't tell me. We end up at this place where I was taken in. And there's these two big strapping men there with plain clothing on. They put a heavy leather belt on me with handcuffs, treating me now that I'm a violent criminal. I was never treated like that, not even down in maximum security prison in Puerto Rico. In fact,
big are you?
5'3", about 100.
Yeah, you don't look like you look like you're a tiny little thing. I'm a big strapping horse of a woman, I'll tell you that, but you still look tiny to me. I mean,
I'm 5'3", and these men that were six foot or hot or more, and you know, and they're treating me like I'm a violent criminal. And I said, what's going on? You take me out to this unmarked car. Well, what's going on? Where are we going? What's going on? I didn't know. And then we left the city, Lebanon, and we're heading down towards my hometown. I said, well, what's going on? We're about halfway there. And they said, you're going to court. I said, does my lawyer know about it? He said, did you tell your lawyer? I said, no, I didn't know about it until just now. We go into the district magistrate's court where my son had told me before, her name was Joanne Schultz, my son had told me before, he was a good friend with Bobby Schultz. I've been with him already when he was talking to Bobby. And he said, oh, they used to talk about how they used to play together at each other's houses when they were kids. So you know, he knew the woman. So we go into her courtroom, and there he is, dressed up really nice with, you know, suit and tie and some other people, and there I am with nobody, no lawyer, no one. And I said, well, what about a lawyer? I said, do I have a right to have a lawyer? He says, well, so he takes me out to the front desk. He hands me a telephone. He said, you can call your lawyer. I said, well, I don't have his phone number, and he's in New Orleans. Mr. Ducote was practicing out of New Orleans at that time. And they take me back into the courtroom. He hands me a piece of paper, highlights this one paragraph in bright red. I have the paper right here, you know, down here, the original. And in other words, it's telling me that I had ample time to get an attorney. And I said, well, I did not. And they go on with the court proceeding with the district magistrate, Joanne Schultz, took my bail for interference with custody of children at $150,000. But then later...
My word.
Yeah, and then later, there was another court date where my lawyer told me I didn't have to go to it. I really should have gone. Richard Ducote said I didn't have to be there. He'd hired a local attorney in Lebanon, which I really didn't think was a good idea. Because I know they're strong, everybody knows this. It's a strong old boys network there.
Right.
Everybody knows it's corrupt. Lebanon is known for being corrupt. For 40 years, over 40 years, maybe 50 years now, it's known for being really corrupt. People have been fighting
corruption
there.
Well, I think that Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was the capital, the nation's capital, way back in the day. And they started something called the Center City Project. And that was part of the sewage system and the drainage system in the United States. And then they brought in the railroads and brought in some kind of projects. Anyway, that was where it all started, the spreading out of the water rights and all that, I believe. And I also have seen books that tie to insurance to the land grants in Pennsylvania. So that's a major, major state for the beginning of all this corruption. Mm-hmm. And it's really like they have underground tunnels there in Center City, Philadelphia. That's a big player. I was actually looking at some of that stuff this morning. After I listened to your videos until about 4 o'clock, I haven't been to sleep yet, and which is fine. I couldn't sleep. I was pretty excited to be talking to you. But I have some people on hold. Do you mind if I bring in some people to see if maybe they have some questions for your advice?
Well, can I mention something really fast?
Sure.
There were a few other reasons why I needed to flee. And another thing, people can watch my YouTube video. It's called Mother and Son Exiled from the USA. Does anyone care? I did that about 5 years ago.
I posted some of that a couple weeks ago when I first found you.
Yeah. At first, 5 years ago when I did that video, I thought I was alone with the situation. It's so good we have Facebook and it's these social networking for all of us to get together. We are not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are being, you know, ripped off by the court, you know, being abused by the courts, terrorized by the courts. You know, in my case, there was a lot more to it. And watch my video. And now I say excel from the USA. In Puerto Rico, I can't say I'm standing in the United States of America. Yes, it is a territory. I know that. But it's not the United States. Now, there were a few other reasons. The system in Lebanon County refused to protect my son from severe abuse from his father that started when he was an infant. Okay, that was one, the first reason. The second reason is the police refused to help me when my son's father, Robert Wasko, W-A-S-K-O, it's Robert Emery Wasko, Richland, Pennsylvania. He offered money to two men to kill me on two different occasions, the second time the price went up. The police would not help me. Even a county detective went and interviewed one of the men. I didn't know about the transcript until I was at, that was used at my trial. That was one of the things that helped me be found not guilty. And
it didn't take him very long to find you not guilty, did it?
No, it was a four-day trial, and it took the jury less than a half hour to find me not guilty. And
amen.
I could go on more, but the judge there before. The funny thing is, right before the jury walked in, we got the other judges recused from my case. After a battle, and we got the district attorney recused from my case. Who actually the new district attorney, Bradford Charles, he's the one who signed my extradition papers. Which I was told.
And what was his name?
Bradford Charles, who's now a new judge in the county, too.
Oh, but lovely.
I was also told it was even unethical for him to even sign my extradition papers because he was one of the owners, partners of the law firm the father used in the whole case, and the grandfather used that law firm too, and things that he did. So it was, you know, and then there he is, the new DA, and signs my extradition papers. It was unethical for him to do that.
Well, I think we need to look back over your case papers together maybe at some point this coming week and try to look at this and see what, I'm not so sure that the statute of frauds won't let you go in under the law of void to clear your name. Boyds, how long did you sit there? You sat there quite a while in that jail when you were only supposed to, didn't a lady judge come in and get you out?
That was in Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico, I was in for a month. And you know what was so wonderful? After they looked over my case in Puerto Rico, I'm in jail for a month. I got in front of the most feared judge in Puerto Rico. My lawyers were hoping to get me another judge, and they were terrified what the judge would do to me. In fact, the man before me got over 200 years in jail. And they thought, oh, no, what's the judge going to do to Pam, right? And when my case, you know, when I came up, I couldn't believe what the judge said. My lawyer from the Women's Commission, who was Athena Lopez de Victoria, interpreted for me. She said, the judge said, what is this woman doing in jail? She fled her country to protect her child. What is she doing in jail?
Oh, good for him.
It was a woman. My bail was reduced from $200,000 down to $3,000, 10%, and that night I was out. I didn't even open my bail. I was out. And then they put us together. And then that actually Puerto Rico, they put us into shelters. I owned a home here in Puerto Rico, but they wanted us in shelters. So they now saw the evidence that the father now knew where I lived. So for our protection, they kept us in shelters during that whole time, which normally you're only allowed in a shelter for 3 months, but they kept us in for our safety.
Right.
In fact, they had us move from one shelter to the other when they realized there were people in Puerto Rico and they found our shelter that we were in. And they quickly had us move from one shelter to another. So,
And then in Pennsylvania, what did they come and get you in Puerto Rico and then take you to Pennsylvania? Is that right? They extradited you there?
Yeah, but they strongly protected my son. I even have a letter, the Superior Court document, which I don't have in front of me. In other words, it said the child will not be returned. The child will not be returned to the state of Pennsylvania because of the obvious dangerous situation the child will be placed in if returned to Pennsylvania. And The corrupt judge, John Tilwalk, even twice used the taxpayers' money to twice fly people, three or four people each time to Puerto Rico to take my son back with court orders. We're so lucky the Superior Court in Puerto Rico placed a court restraining order on them, prohibiting them from taking him, because they had seen the evidence that there was enough evidence that children and youth in Pennsylvania, they should have protected my son and never did. Well, they made it supervised, but that was it, and then always unfounded.
Founded if your child's telling you about it and things are happening. It is founded, and that's a mother's worst fear.
Oh, but a national group called Mothers Protecting Children had gotten the supervisor from Harrisburg to come down to my house one time. And with the supervisor of the caseworker on my case from Lebanon,
uh-huh.
She came down. And during the whole time where I was showing videos of what my son was doing and saying after bits with his father, and she fell asleep. The woman fell asleep. I found out later she was the one who was supposed to be protecting my son. She could not stay awake. I found out later she had a brain tumor. It was on strong medicine. She couldn't stay awake. And the only reason they were keeping her with her job there in Lebanon is because she needed health insurance. She was such a nice woman. They put me up in the county commissioner's office. Oh, she was such a nice woman. They keep her on because she needs her health insurance. I said, what about the children? They have a long life
right.
to live. What about protecting the children? I was so upset when I heard that. And when they left, the man to me, the director from the main office in Harrisburg, said to me, he says, boy, you're in a much better situation than I would be in this situation. But they never protected my son other than those three supervised visits. I could go on and on, but
well, it sounds like a nightmare, and it wasn't anything that you protect your son.
Yeah, and then also the police refused to help me when my son's father sent me a death threat in the mail. That's a federal offense. I gave it to the FBI at the advice of my attorney. They handed it down to the state police. It's in their report. They came out to my house and asked me, and I offered them samples of the father's handwriting, recent handwriting from visitations. They refused to take it. It's in their report, too, that they went to the father's house, asked him for samples of his handwriting. He refused to give it. Why do they think why? And that was it. That was their investigation.
Well, this is one of the techniques I found where, I don't know what it is, if it's some kind of policy, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're getting paid to do a job, and investigating requires evidence, and they'll try everything they can not to take it. I've had it happen to me.
Yeah,
if they don't have it, then they don't have to investigate. So send it in.
At my trial, though, the man who did the handwriting analysis for the state police.
Mm-hmm.
When the state police handed him the death threat, the state police told him, he testified to that in court, that the state police told them that they thought I wrote the death threat. Well, if they thought that, then why didn't they go press charges on me? You know, because that would have been illegal for me, you know, doing that.
They didn't take any evidence, did they? The state police, they didn't take any evidence, did they?
No, they have the death threat, but they wouldn't take the samples of the father's handwriting. They
mm-hmm.
dropped
that,
it.
And,
the father
and then they went in and somebody they told somebody that they thought it was you that wrote the note.
Well, that was when my trial was. When my trial
mm-hmm.
was, that's when they finally had it analyzed. And they finally had it analyzed. That was another joke. The man who did that. So they put it in his mind that I wrote the death threat, and he was in there trying to convince everybody in the jury that I was the one who wrote the death threat when the letters were completely different. And it was really kind of funny. And that man had only worked for them for 1 year. Did work for them for 1 year. Luckily, my attorney Richard Ducote got the handwriting analysis used by the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office that they used her for 11 years, and she said that she said that she could not say 100%, but she was sure that the father wrote the death threat, but she could not say the 100% because the state police would not give her the original. But I was really shocked when the judge had them bring the original down. After she looked at it, she said, no, it was, you know, in other words, it was the father who wrote the death threat after
right.
she saw the original. And the funny thing was, he was trying, the other one, the state police analyst was trying to convince it was the jury that it wasn't. And one thing that was, the judge, the father misspelled the word or. He spelled it O-U-R.
Uh-huh.
And in his writings, some of his letters they compared it to, he wrote uh-huh. O-U-R. How many people misspelled or, you know, O-R, and misspell it and spell O-U-R?
Yeah.
Not just that, but it was real obvious without even a headline analyst, but the letters were very similar. You know, that it was the father. You and I could have told that. Anybody could tell it. So that was
just
another joke.
So did they make any restitution to you at all for
no.
what they put you through? No?
No. I've been to many attorneys, and no attorney would handle it. I've been over and over and over. I've been to so many attorneys, and the one attorney I went to in Pennsylvania who was supposed to be a really, really good civil rights attorney, he told me that I had a really good case, but it was too big for a small office. I would need a large law firm because there's so much that they did to me wrong. There's so much that they did to my son and I that is wrong. I would need a large law firm.
Well, maybe
you
we
know?
Can get this out there, and maybe somebody can step up and offer to help like some of these other guys have helped you. The former FBI agent sounds like an angel, the one that helped you.
Oh, yeah. My son's father was threatening to kill me. That's another reason I had to leave. He was threatening to kill my son if anybody reports the abuse again at the end, you know, I was really shocked at my trial. The therapist actually testified. There were two therapists that were seeing my son at the end. It's a long story. Actually, they court-ordered me. After the last time I went to court in Pennsylvania, they court-ordered me that I could not take my son for any more therapy or evidence without the court's approval. My attorney told me, my last attorney told me, well, you know you're never going to get that. It's very obvious they're trying to stop me from getting more evidence. Asked it about 10 more. After he was disbarred for insurance fraud, I went to about 10 other attorneys trying to get another attorney, and they all told me it's really obvious you're not going to get anywhere in that county. If I were you, I would leave and come back when your son's older. Asked it the therapist. The therapist, to my shock, she even testified at my trial that she had told
me. Well, we need to look into that county more, some of us girls that research. We
yeah.
need to maybe get with you and get some help on that on a conference call at another date. But I wanted to know, there's a couple people, there's somebody on here that I'd like to bring in that may yeah. be able to help. I'm thinking, I'm not sure, okay. It's 561. Do you mind if I bring them in?
No, I just want to say that
they may,
they're doing the same to other people in my county, other protective mothers, and a father I know of. They're doing the same thing. They court order you that you cannot get any more evidence and without their approval. I was told that they can't do that, but they do.
Well, that's almost like they're somehow taking over custody, it sounds like to me. But let's see if this caller maybe has it. It might be one of my friends, I'm thinking. Hold on just one moment.
But except right now they're fast to take the evidence away from the protective parent and give it to the abuser, which happened in those cases. I know of three of them right now in Lebanon County.
Well, I don't think I know how to do this. Unmute, evidently. So, let me see. No, I've got it. Hold on just 1 minute. 561.
Hi,
hello,
Carol.
561.
Yes. It's,
hi.
Hello. Can you hear me? It's
yeah.
I don't necessarily have any additional information that I can provide. I just wanted to, you know, just make a comment that it seems to me, too, that a lot of these people are interconnected in their sicko ways. You know what I mean?
And this is Susan, right?
Yes.
Susan,
that
this is Pamela.
I was reading a book one time when I was younger, and it was talking about, like, that they actually have a network. So my point is that some of these people that are actually aiding and abetting these pedophiles are a part of that network. Do you know what I'm saying?
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's that's another thing that people need to, in this country, need to start waking up to and really start pulling the curtains back on who these people really are.
Well, did you see, Susan, did you hear Pam when she was talking about not getting any notice from the court?
Like me, in my situation.
It's very similar. I talked to Pamela about you last night about the fact that you were brought up on some kind of bogus charges for domestic violence for a man you never even have met.
Mm-hmm. Just so they could steal my property.
Right. And I actually told her about the papers that you received in the mail that were, we thought, a mistake. And I told her, I don't think anything's a mistake. I think they do things purposely. And they're stealing identities behind the scenes because they build paper dolls out of us.
Mm-hmm.
So here she didn't get any kind of notices at all. It wasn't showing in the record because why? They had her file in another, they had her papers in another case file.
Was it under her name or was it under
I'm just another? Saying that. I'm just from what I know and what I've been able to find and track here, that's what they do. They have a case file that looks like it's a dead case. It's done and over with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really live inside the file itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's people going in and filing papers in and out and keeping the case alive.
Mm-hmm.
So Pamela Kilmer might become...
And what I'm also saying, too, is that same network of people that's doing all this dirty stuff to humanity, that's stealing their houses, and then on the flip side, taking their kids because they're homeless, that these are the same people that will sit on the boards of the Homeless Coalition or the Child Protective Services as if they're the pillars of the community.
Yeah, they've got them you're right, they've got people in key strategic locations, and some of the places that you suspect you can go look at their corporate and their community involvement and things like that, and some of the firms that may represent big banks and stuff, they'll talk about their corporate governance and what they do, and the fact that they have people in key positions in the legislative branch and in different committees, and that right there is their influence, and they're basically right out in everybody's face saying that. And there's nothing wrong with making money the honest way, but when you're doing it the dishonest way on the backs of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, seriously, this is ridiculous. We got people. These are human beings like us that put their pants on the same way that we do, right? Or dresses, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
They're no better than anybody else, and I'm no better than anybody else or no less, and how dare they? That's like a cow selling a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They're selling their own, and it's going to take a spiritual awakening, I believe, to change some of these gut people's hearts, because I'll tell you what, I don't have any faith that the government's going to do jack crap about it.
And I hate
to sound like that, but I've been waning, and I'm waning, and all I see them doing is taking out a little bitty player here and a little bitty player there, and we know how huge this thing is.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's like you all starting the show and putting the effort out there to put the information out there to start waking up all of the people, because, for instance, the guest on your show today, that people need to start looking at it and saying, that could be me.
Right.
That if I could be in that same situation, would it be any different for me? And that sometimes people don't really put themselves in another person's shoes, but if they did, they would be more upset about what's happening.
She was in jail. How long were you in jail, Pamela, in Pennsylvania?
Over 200 days.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying But what I'm saying is that with that network of pedophiles, that they have strategically been placed in positions to protect each other also.
And you're right.
And that we have to really start pulling back the curtain and looking at everybody, not in an accusatory way, it's not what I'm saying, but to really pull back the curtain and not let people hide behind these titles.
Yeah, and not
look,
be afraid.
And really look at their actions and see what they're really up to. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
That
yep.
the same guy
I
that's,
agree.
That's on the board of children's, you know, sexual violence may actually be the same guy.
Well,
that's
and
a
like
part
her
that.
County that she's from, she's got a guy who went over there after and everything, wrote the order and all this, and now he's a practicing judge. So who else has he done this to? And there's plenty of it going on all over the place, so it does need to be looked into. And
what's
part of the
background?
Problem is we've let them take over raising our children now. I don't need them mm-hmm. to raise any member of
background?
My family.
If he's protecting a pedophile, what's his background? Do you know what I mean? What else is behind that story? Do you know what I mean?
Excuse me.
Cash for kids and them going in and doing all this cash for kids, what other incentive may they have besides just cash? You know what I mean?
Right. And you're right, and it's a hard subject to look at, but it's true because it's going on all the time, and there is a group, and there's plenty of proof out there, and they just continue to cover it up. And the higher up they are, they just get a little slap on the hand, or they get to go on about their because they've got paper, and it's just paper. These
mm-hmm.
people that aren't doing their job and holding these people accountable, they need
mm-hmm.
to go right to jail with them. They need to be
mm-hmm.
held accountable and be put right in jail with them.
Mm-hmm. Because if they're
and, you know, and if they don't want to do their job and they're in a public office or they're official, step down, man. Get out of the way. Let somebody in there that wants to let us help you to do your job then. If you can't do it, move aside. Let somebody else in there.
Yeah. Because
I'm
if they're
telling
putting
you,
those kids in the hands of a pedophile, they are just as guilty. Right? If they're taking the protection from the mother that's trying to protect the child and saying, oh, this child needs to go back into the hands of this person that's abusing the child, especially if the child's saying, this is what's happening to me, then that person
Pamela?
Just is guilty.
Yes?
Pamela, are you there?
Yes?
I just didn't know if you were there.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
That's all I wanted to just mention because,
well, thank
you know,
you,
that,
Susan.
That we really have to look at these people that are aiding and abetting and look at them also as being just as guilty.
Yeah,
well, you're right, too, and that's the way we need to look at it and not turn our heads from it or think it doesn't affect me because it could be any one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been, actually. I mean, we're all mm-hmm. victims of a massive crime, but mm-hmm. some of the crimes are way worse than the others, and the people that suffer are the children. This is
mm-hmm.
one of my concerns, these warrants that they put up. They're building new juvenile
mm-hmm.
detention centers left and right,
mm-hmm.
Getting funding and grants
mm-hmm.
for that. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they got plans.
Mm-hmm. And then you make take everybody's land. Where are they going to end up? Where are they going to be? Detention centers?
They're going to be displaced, and that's the whole plan, I believe. We got to take back our government and well, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it right, but I went up and took their oath. I accepted their oath. And, you know, when they mm-hmm. do an oath, they do it under the Constitution and they give an oath. But I don't know if anybody actually. I don't so much care about the bonds and insurance because I don't know about that part. I did ask for
mm-hmm.
that, but I just wanted to go mm-hmm. ahead and basically say, I'll shake your hand. You got a deal now. Start doing your job and quit calling for Agenda 21 issues, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're doing behind the scenes. This whole BLM thing and the Bundy
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
land, anytime you finance
mm-hmm.
your home, you're giving up your children's Social Security numbers and they're stealing them left and right. The IRS
mm-hmm.
actually marries your Social Security number, so there can be a combination of two, and that's a
mm-hmm.
fact, and they know it. I'm not saying that
mm-hmm.
they do anything wrong, but they have a way to where they splice these numbers up or parse them out.
Mm-hmm.
So here's these children's stolen identities. All they need is the last five, and they don't check their age or their
mm-hmm.
name. They just
mm-hmm.
check for a valid security number, and wham, we got a new identity. I
mm-hmm.
want to know who's collecting those funds, who's evading taxes, who's the real,
mm-hmm.
live, warm-blooded man or woman that's doing
mm-hmm.
that. And there
and
is one.
And that's why when I hear you mention that there were 80 warrants taken out in your grandson's name, anybody that hears that.
98 and 47 were felonies, $400,000 each at least. There might have been 49. I can't remember.
That everybody that listens has got to put themselves in your shoes and say, well, if that happened to Carol's grandson, let me see what might be going on with
him. And I don't have any evidence that's been taken off of him either yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and
mm-hmm.
I would have never known had I not found that. And you know, I'm glad that I found out about it, but it's been quite an experience since 2012, October 2012, going to the FBI, the senator, the Carl Levin officials in Washington, calling the Department of Treasury, calling the IRS, you know, anybody and everybody, and not one person can do one thing about this because they're so busy making money. What a bunch of jerks.
Carol,
and
I
don't see how they can look at their own children knowing that they're doing this to other people's children.
And let me ask you this then, because let's say that since they're doing it to other people's kids, are certain people marked for this type of behavior going on, whereas other people are
Well, if you're
protected?
An insider's
you know
child,
I, mean?
I haven't. If
you
you're
know
an
what I'm
insider's
saying?
Child, mm-hmm. I'm sure that they, if they know the system, they're not going to let their mm-hmm. their people be drawn mm-hmm. into this.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the majority of the people are getting it done to them, and I don't know that they're specifically targeting. They're doing it to anyone and everyone that's not an insider.
That's
and I don't know
saying.
What the criteria is for insider, but
mm-hmm.
I know that
you know
evidently
how, like,
my family's not one.
Well, like, for instance, police officers, they'll give their loved ones, like their wife and their kids, a special badge to where if they get pulled over, they don't get a ticket. To where the rest
really?
Of the society, if they're not law enforcement, you know, they'll get a ticket.
I didn't know that, but I think everybody should be treated the same
mm-hmm.
as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I would hate to be a police officer or even, you know, even at this point, the government's pretty badly hated at this point because they're not very effective at their job. They may be well trying, but they're not caring. They're caring too little, too late, what people really think about them. And just because it's an election up, they think it's not going to matter. It is going to matter. People aren't going to forget about this stuff, and nobody's going to be quiet about it anymore because everybody's had it. They've
mm-hmm.
had it with the way things are going, and it's time for them to do their job immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how they can even say, oh, well, we didn't take her evidence because the county attorney was friends with us. And the city attorney's his partner, and they own a title company that's hooked on to U.S. Bank, and they run the land records office. And the prosecuting mm-hmm. attorney, it looks like she might own one of the houses. And who cares about that woman and her grandchildren?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me. It's everybody's children that's
mm-hmm.
not an insider. There's all kinds of it going on. It's very simple. They take the former last name of the homeowner that you know, if you lived in a home and Mr. Smith owned it, and you got a little boy named Johnny Day. Johnny Day now becomes Johnny Smith. And you can see it right in a date of you buying that house that they have hijacked your child's name. And it's in the records. It's in the land records. It's in the court records because they're hijacking corporate birth certificate names, and they're thinking it's okay, and they're putting warrants on them. Now, that's going to cause
like
problems later on.
It sounds like from
it
what
is
you're
true.
Saying,
I
really
can say it
people,
with
the only people that are going to be able to, you know, remedy this are going to be the people.
Well, and people
themselves.
Will say, what harm is there? There's harm to the reputation. That's trespass
mm-hmm.
upon someone's property.
Mm-hmm.
That is trespass. They cannot use that name in fraud and commit crimes and expect the person to come back
mm-hmm.
years later and deal with it. It's crime.
Yeah,
it's identity theft. It's human trafficking.
It's like accusing me of domestic violence against somebody that I've never met and that I'm not in any kind of relationship with. So it's like you're accusing
and,
me of domestic violence with this person.
And his,
and that's
his family
to be,
owns a title company, don't
candy.
They?
You said what?
His family owns a title company, correct?
His family owns a real estate company, but his
oh,
wife
yeah.
worked for a title company. And I don't, and now she works for a nursing home, whereas I think there's a lot of suspicious business that goes on with those nursing homes with stealing assistance.
Oh, yeah, elder abuse and hospices. Well, and you're right. I even have the IRS or the Treasury Department has my live birth date in the sequence of my birth year, 61, listed under the back taxes under my daughter's stolen identity under a totally, not a totally different name, but a different last name. And the treasurer, the deputy of treasury found that, and she's like, I can't hardly wrap my head around this. And I said, well, join the club here because this is really weird. I'm now become a batch and sequence number, and my whole family's identities have been stolen, and my 8- and 10-year-old sibling grandchildren are married in the system. And the lady in charge of child support's like, I'll never take it off of there. I don't care what you say. And it's right in the records, their names, for everybody to see. It's just, to me, I just can't believe that there's no excuse for this. And it is a wonder that the courts are so full. It makes you want to sue them.
Well, you know, and what's interesting, too, is that how you mentioned the Joe Brown case, and that I read something that on that case that he was actually defending a woman that was in family court on a child support issue for a child that wasn't hers, is what I was reading.
That,
so it
that
sounds
she
like
never
the same
had
thing,
that
identity
child.
Theft.
Right. And I just got to watch a little bit of that last night because I was watching Pamela. But I did watch it because somebody said he was great, so I wanted to see it. I saw the one video. But Pamela, did you see that where he was defending someone who supposedly had a child that they never gave birth to, a mother?
No, I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, that's what he was in there defending. He couldn't believe it. She'd been going through all kinds of cane for 8 years now.
Oh, this is terrible. There's a terrible case in Pennsylvania with some people that were actually came to court and helped me out. But I heard about them. I saw this couple on TV, on the news, Channel 8 News, from out of Lancaster. They had adopted a child right straight from the hospital from a mother who did not want the baby. And they had the boy a few years. The boy's now a few years old, I think 2.5, when the mother decided she wanted the child back. But didn't want it before that. So now she fought to get the child back, went to court. What the jury was not allowed to hear was that she had previously murdered a baby, her baby.
Oh, my.
And she got the child back and beat him to death over a few days period of time.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Because you know why? You know why? Because the baby was crying for its mommy, wouldn't call her mommy. The baby didn't know, the child did not know her as mommy. But that's why she beat the kid to death. Why wasn't the jury allowed to hear the full everything? Why wasn't the jury allowed to hear that the mother had previously murdered a child? And that's, thinking about that in my own case, every time, because I was in and out of court many times in Pennsylvania trying to protect my child, but every time I went to court, I was not allowed to bring up anything from the time before the previous court date. So if they could have, and there were some things that I wanted to bring up which was not allowed in court before. And everything together would have made a huge case. You know, and the last time
I
went to court.
Well, and that brings in some judicial misconduct, and some things don't fall under discretion, I don't believe, matters like this. I brought in another caller from 908 that's been on hold for a while, so I brought them in. If you're unmuted, go ahead and speak, caller, if you'd like to.
Hi, Carol. It's Joanne.
That's Sharon here, and Pamela. And Pamela's from your neck of the woods.
Oh, yes, I understand Pam's story completely. In fact, Pam, I've shared your story on Pennsylvania Citizens Action Network many times. I also shared your story this morning with Bruce Levine up in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, who also is fighting that war with Judge Civarella, and they just put Linda Ross in jail for the ad litem, remember? For taking money, $200,000, Carol, on one child, and then forgot to put it on her IRS income tax form. She must be using the Timmy Geithner TurboTax system. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah, or a UCC filing on under a prisoner's name in Kentucky. That'd be the way to go because that's what those boys do. And, yes, I said it because I've seen it.
There are people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, thank God for Facebook. I have to agree with Pam on that because Terrence Healy is going through a terroristic divorce in Berks County. I'm still fighting in Northampton. Found out that the DA is in cahoots with the state police and is taking his orders from the AG, Kathleen Kane, who is on a pedophile campaign, however, does not even look at the corruption in the
Commonwealth. Why don't we take a look at those people this week, coming week, Joanne? All of us get together and take a look. You girls want to?
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should
what,
put
what county again were you from, Pamela?
Network and expose the crap out of them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, look what happened this morning. The mayor of Girardville was found out to be taking HUD funds in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
And what did they do anything?
He's under investigation now, but
did they file civil charges?
Well, he's under investigation. They're not going to put him under any charges until they find out what exactly happened. You know, this is, one of the things that we're all finding out here, and Pam can, chime in on this, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, is that whenever you go for justice within the court system, and it doesn't make a difference if it's at a magistrate level, a county level, a state level, or even if you try to get into the Fed level, you know, the corruption is pervasive, and they protect one another. I mean, I've been waiting. Remember, Carol, when I went stood before the judge, and she told me that I'd go back and feed the cat? Believe it or not, that order of court is now missing out of the court, and I've waited 4 months for the transcript.
We need to get with David and Lynn and find out, and Randy Kelton, and find out what we can do about these officials and judicial. And I need to get more. I need to get better at this, so I can show you talk about the remedy available there, because it looks like it's going to be the only one that when they're going to get in trouble by someone, that maybe they'll think about what they're doing.
From the Delaware River all the way over to the Ohio border, that this state is just one big pervasive corruption. And I agree.
We got about
Pam
another
that.
Minute,
I'm,
is all. Joanne, okay. I'm sorry.
That's
I just
right.
wanted Pamela to – Pamela, is there any advice you can give us on, what you think needs to be done
country? A plan of action by Thomas Mick, I think is what it's going to come to. And some
plan
people,
of action by Thomas Mick.
Yes. Yes, check it out. A plan of action by Thomas Mick. And that is for people to go into our own communities and read his plan and – get the criminals out of your local government.
And then like Susan, too, watching what we, these people that are in charge.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
thank
you
everybody.
Yeah.
You have a great day.
Go ahead,
Carol.
Pamela.
Bye.
You too. Pamela?
Yes?
Go ahead bye to everybody if you'd like.
Goodbye. Yeah, he says, in fact, I just want to mention, they wanted me in jail for 17 years, and my son back with his father. And after I was found not guilty, they still wouldn't release me from jail. And I'm in jail over 200 days. I just wanted to let you know that. The excuse they used is because I still had a contempt charge, which only gave me 15 days in jail or a fine. But a month later, I finally got my release hearing with every reporters there, and the Judge Pilwalk lied. Many lies for the reporters,
we'll try to get you some help and have you back on the show if you would like to come back. It's been an honor speaking.
Yeah, he said the only reason he was going to release me is because by law he had to. all I can say is, before you kick out the father, get your evidence. Try and get as much evidence as possible before you kick out the abuser.
Okay.
Well,
I'd like to have you back on. We ran out of time. We're still running, but it quit recording. But I would like to have you back on again if you wouldn't mind. You did a great job, and you've got a you could do 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 shows, and people would really want to hear what you have to say. So I think you're reaching people. And this Mr. Mick, will check him out because I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I watched a little bit of you and him on the radio the other night.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes. Well, you know, well, thank you. I wouldn't mind coming back on. People have to know how it's just a nightmare. They can do to you whatever they want, and they'll lie. And the police will lie. You know, they'll lie. It's all money.
I'm trying
all
to turn this
money.
Radio off. Yeah, I don't know how to work this radio right. I'm not a very good radio hostess. Brene's way better. And I missed her.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Well, you ladies did great. I thank you all for coming, and I will talk later and call me.
Well, thank you very much. You know, thank you so very
call
much.
Call me anytime, dear, and I want to get with you this week to try to look into this guy in Pennsylvania. I'll get with Joanne.
Everybody, please read A Plan of Action.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Susan.
Thank
Thanks,
you
Joanne.
Much.
Peace and love. Bye.